Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Thrive by Five podcast hosted by Family Futures. I'm Corey Holcomb. I'm your host, and I want to thank you for being here with us today. We're into March now, and of course, for many people, March is reading month. We celebrate books, we celebrate literacy, we celebrate literature, and I thought it only appropriate to have one of our friends from the Grand Rapids Public Library here. So please help me welcome Library Assistant Mindy Reitkirk. Mindy, thank you for being here.
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me. It's great to meet you guys.
So we get to talk about books today. And like, how fun is that? Let's talk about you first. What got you into wanting to be a librarian? I'm assuming it's a love of books, but where was the fire lit?
That's a great question. And I will say that I grew up as a library kid. So my mom took me to story times when I was little, and I thought the youth librarian was the coolest person in the world. She made me feel seen and like I was important. And my first job in high school was actually at that library. I would reshelve books after school. And then after a little roundabout in my career, I found my way back to libraries. So I am now a library assistant at the Grand Rapids Public Library. I've been there for over 7 years. Yes, I absolutely love it. And I do have a master's degree in library science. And I'm also a certified professional librarian from the Library of Michigan and the Michigan Department of Education.
That is amazing. You mentioned starting out in high school, being a librarian. I think about when I was in high school, and one of the cool jobs to have was to be like a TA, which just sounds kind of silly, but one semester I got to be like the assistant librarian. Basically, all I did was when kids came in, I would like scan their barcodes for their names and their books. Mm-hmm. But it was a really fun job.
Yeah. Libraries feel like home to me. They're really special places.
Obviously, it goes without saying that like books and literacy and reading are important to you. Mm-hmm. And really, ultimately, they should be important to all of us because, of course, with children, especially 0 to 5, with the brain developing so much at that point, it's 90% of a child's brain is developed in those first 5 years. So really, reading is such an essential thing, not only for development, but also just for making memories. I think about when I was expecting my son, she was pregnant and we would sit there and she would be in the rocking chair and I would literally just open board books and read to my son.
Yeah.
Not only to get used to reading books to him, but also so he'd recognize my voice one day.
Yeah, that's so sweet. I love that.
As a librarian, I want to hear like why you think reading matters so much from your perspective.
So I would say that reading is a foundational skill for your whole life. And those literacy skills really start at birth. When children are born, they start hearing your voice. And that's when they first start to understand language. Being able to develop those skills early on in life is going to help children be successful. And reading is also really essential for school readiness. One thing that we often say in our story times is that if kids know 5 nursery rhymes before they start school, they're going to be much more ready to read. Mm. Reading also helps with confidence when they start school. You know, you think about when kids are asked to read aloud. And if they have a background where they're reading at home with their parents regularly, they're going to feel more comfortable in that environment. Another thing that we keep on our minds at the library is Michigan has what's called the third grade reading law, which came out in 2016. And it basically requires schools to monitor the reading levels of students and provide interventions if they're not at the appropriate reading level. So the state of Michigan does tend to have lower reading scores compared to other states. So parents just want to be aware that it's really important to develop those skills early on so that their children can be successful in school.
That is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my own childhood and we had this program called, you might know, it's called Accelerated Reader.
Yes.
Where they would make us read, not make us, but they would give us, okay, over the course of the, you know, a semester, you'd have to amass so many reading points. And every book you read, you would take a test on and to test like what you remembered from those books.
I also had Accelerated Reader when I was going through school. Yeah, I loved it because I was a reader. So I'm like, you know, getting all the points.
And some of the kids I know, like some kids would tout like their reading level. It's, oh, I'm in sixth grade, but I have a 9th grade reading level. And,
yeah.
Which I guess it kind of creates a disparity too, which kind of makes sense.
So. Yeah. I'm not sure I feel great about that level of competition because it can make other kids not feel as good, you know?
And then at the other point of it too, is it kind of makes reading a chore, I would say, when reading should be fun.
Yeah.
I think about, the best memories I have, even if it wasn't school related, I remember being in fifth grade and our teacher would read books to us, you know, read chapter books, and just being able to immerse yourself in literature and growing up, you know, with things like the Chronicles of Narnia. I think it also helps with creativity, I would imagine too, you know, just being able to create and envision these scapes and these worlds people write down beyond picture books. But I don't want to jump too far ahead because I know where we're focused on the 0 to 5 and I could talk about all my favorite books. The other part of it too, you know, is language and vocabulary, and kids always struggle to have themselves expressed in the way they want because they don't have either the emotional capacity or the verbal capacity to often communicate what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way too, that reading and understanding those words also helps them be able to communicate what they need and what they want. The other part of it too with reading is the bonding experience between parents and kids. Thinking about books and exposure, how do they help with a child's vocabulary?
The main way that children are building their vocabulary when they're reading is just exposure to new words. So in preparation for this podcast, I was doing a little research. And if parents are reading 5 books to their children every day until they're 5, those children are going to be exposed to over 1 million words by the time that they're 5 years old. And like you said, that'll give them the tools to be able to express themselves and really navigate the world in an easier way. And the other thing that books really help with is children will learn the context of the words. So they're understanding a story as a whole. They're looking at the illustrations that are associated with it. And that's the way that they can begin to get a grasp on what certain words mean.
That's amazing. I think about my son, when he was small, we bought him a book called A is for Artichoke, and it's about foodie terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him basically mimicking and reading the words back, you know, kind of memorizing, but C is for caramelization. And just like, what 2-year-old, 3-year-old child knows what caramelization means?
Right.
He probably didn't know. But he still was able to recognize that word.
Yeah, and they're forming those early neural networks that, you know, they can build on throughout life.
Yes, exactly. Thinking about, you talked about the nursery rhymes, talking to children, reading, singing, especially in those early months, I guess it kind of goes back to those things you were saying, but it really does, and I would say even to like a social, emotional impact as well, wouldn't mm-hmm. you?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the models that we use for story times at Grand Rapids Public Library is the Every Child Ready to Read model developed by the Public Library Association, which includes talking, singing, reading, writing, and playing. So I think a lot of times when parents hear the word literacy, they only think about like books and print text, but there's so much more that you can do to develop literacy. And in terms of the social and emotional benefits, we're seeing so much more diversity in the publication of children's books, like way more than when I was younger, to where you have people of all different ethnicities and backgrounds being represented in the books. And children begin to develop an acceptance for difference. They understand that people who are different from them are just as valid. And it's really builds the foundation for compassion later on.
That's a really good point, too. And thinking about just the topics that are covered with children's books nowadays, just a few days ago, we were all talking kids' books, and I brought in a book that my son loved when he was little called The Rabbit Listened, and it was all about empathy and anger management and sometimes just sitting with your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And some authors may have nodded to those things back in the day, but to have books that cover complex issues like diversity and inclusion mm-hmm. and emotions and feelings, I think it's all really, really great they're finally doing that.
Yeah. And we see a lot of that too, is like books that are specifically, even about specific emotions, like this is what, how you can handle anger or fear. Yes. And I think it gives me a lot of hope for the next generation because they're learning these essential emotional regulation tools really early on in life.
Yes, completely. I totally agree. And I think one thing that we can't gloss over is really just the bonds that reading creates between caregivers and their children, their families. My son looks forward to reading as much as we can as a family, but I can tell you that dad reading a story is an optional thing, but mom reading a story to him is a requirement every night. If mom is not there to read the story, then the night it goes awry.
I love that.
And I think, it does. And I'm sure you see this with story times, with parents engaging with their kids at the library. Mm-hmm. That bond is really reinforced with it.
Yeah, that bond is really something special. And another aspect of it I would include is that when parents bring their kids to the library and give them the freedom to choose their own books, they get really valuable insight into what kind of interests that their child has. Rather than, you know, sometimes parents will think my child has to read like a specific type of book that's appropriate for their reading level and their age level. Whereas our approach is really more the right book for your child is whatever type of book that they want to read. Like, yes, the skill development is important, but the most important thing is developing a regular habit of reading early on. And if they feel that freedom to choose what they want to read, that's going to be a stronger habit.
Yes, most definitely. I think about the one struggle I think all parents and caregivers face is the fact that we're all busy. A lot of parents are both working or working multiple jobs. And so trying to find time between, you know, you get home, your kid gets off the bus, you get home, okay, do your homework, eat dinner, okay, let's go to bed. So how can parents be more intentional with incorporating reading with their kids to their kids in a busy life, in a busy world?
Yeah. So I'm a strong believer that small daily habits can add up to a big impact over time. So what I would suggest for parents is to start small, you know, incorporate reading time into your daily routine wherever it feels easiest for you, whether that be, you know, in the morning or after bath time or before bed. And then, you know, start with 5 minutes, do one book a day, and then build from there as you have the capacity to.
Yes. And some of the best memories are always, and it's a great bedtime routine as well, I think, just mm-hmm. because a bath is nice and warm and cozy, gets their body relaxed, you know, putting pajamas on, cozy jammies, and you sit on mom and dad's lap or your parent or caregiver's lap, and you read books and you laugh at pictures and you have a little bonding experience. You can snuggle a little bit and rock back and forth. I think that's really, really special. And I know you mentioned earlier that some people may think their child doesn't have an interest in books. Mm-hmm. And typically that might be the case, but it also could just be the topic that they're reading, correct?
Yeah, that's again why I suggest to let your child pick out their own books. That's a great place to start. Also, if you have a child who doesn't particularly show an interest in books, I would say that you are your child's best role model. So modeling the behavior of reading is more likely to get them interested in it as well. So whether that's having books around the house, you're reading regularly, it's going to develop their interest in it.
Very good. I love that. So one question I have, we have printed books, but we also have audiobooks. We have digital books. We have podcasts now. Are these still effective tools for creating literacy with children?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that any format that gets children engaged with stories is a great place to start. Every parent will be able to decide what's right for their family in terms of engaging with devices and screen time. Everybody has a different approach. I will say that audiobooks are a great option for children who prefer to be up and moving. So sometimes we have this perception that children need to sit down and be still and be listening to a story. And for a lot of kids, that just doesn't work. You know, they don't have the attention span or they have a lot of energy that they need to move. So if you ask almost any librarian, they will tell you that audiobooks still count as reading.
I love that. Yeah. My son, this is a subtle plug for a podcast, another podcast. Have you heard of Story Pirates?
I have not.
Story Pirates, it's a podcast based out of Chicago, I believe, and kids will submit ideas for stories, and then a professional troupe will create sketches based on the kids' ideas.
So cool.
Based on how little or how much they give them, they will build stories on these things. And it's one of my son's favorite podcasts to listen to when we're in the car sometimes. When he's in a podcast mood, I will say.
I'll have to check it out.
I know you talked about let the kids pick out the books. Should parents have any sort of discretion when if a child who should be 5 years old wants to pick up a board book, or a 2-year-old wants to pick up a picture book that's bigger? Should there be any sort of discretion with that?
I think that it's good to have a balance of both. So you want to make sure that your child is on track with developmental milestones and does have the ability to read age-appropriate books. If not, some educational intervention would probably need to be brought in. But, you know, if you have someone who is in first grade and they see a board book of a topic that's of of interest to them, I don't see any harm in that.
That's great. That's really good. I know you talked about parents modeling behavior. Are there any other ways that they can make reading interactive and engaging?
Yeah. So one of my first suggestions would be to create like a cozy space at home. So I personally have really great memories of building forts as a child. So if you get out, you know, the sheets and the clothespins and the pillows and maybe some string lights, you know, get creative with what you have at home and then make that space for children. Another thing that I would encourage parents to do is use voices for different characters. Children can really enjoy that. And if you have props at home to, you know, dress up as a character from a book or enact a scene from one of their favorite stories, that can be really fun and engaging too.
That's a great example too. I think about the forts and how much kids love to be in their own little space where grownups can not like grown-ups have to kind of maneuver into, but yeah. Where they can sit around blankets and their stuffies and they can grab a flashlight or, like you said, a twinkle light. That's a really fun idea. Now, thinking about the library itself, what kind of programs do you offer for young children?
So we have two programs that go year-round. All of our library locations offer story time, and we have different types of story time. So we offer baby time, which is obviously for babies. Family time, which is ages 0 to 5. And then we have a couple of variations on family time that includes pajama time and bilingual story time at one of our locations on the south side for Spanish speaking families. We also have a program that's called 1000 Books Before Kindergarten. And it's pretty much what it sounds like. So the goal is for families to read 1000 books together before their child starts story time. And they'll get a little booklet where they can mark off their progress. And at each 100 book milestone, they can come into the library and get a sticker to update their log. And then at the end of the program, when they've read 1,000 books, they can pick up a backpack that's filled with school supplies to get them started for kindergarten.
I love that.
We do have a couple seasonal programs as well. So every winter, we do a Social Justice Begins With Me book club that is in partnership with Grand Valley State University. So we'll have different books for different age groups, and everybody comes together to discuss the book, whether it be about, you know, racial diversity or migration, different topics like that. And then there will also be a craft for kids to do. And we also do a summer reading challenge every summer, which is, you know, kind of typical of every library system. Ours is really fun and engaging and is more activity-based rather than based on how many pages or how many books a child is reading.
I love that. And one thing we cannot forget to talk about, and this is kind of something that we think about with the library, is the library cards.
Right.
So I'm curious, I don't know the answer, but how young can you be to get a library card?
You just have to be living and breathing.
Oh my goodness.
You just have to be alive. That's all.
That's amazing. And so, yeah, people can come in and get their library cards. And yep. That's a really fun experience. I think I remember as a child, just getting to have a library card. And I don't know. It's just like, I don't know what... how to describe that feeling.
It's a feeling of power. It's really like a child's first sense of autonomy and responsibility of like, this is my account. I can choose my own books and take them home. And it's such a great feeling. Granted, they do have to have a responsible adult sign for the card.
Sure.
But yeah, I would totally agree with that.
That is so special. I love that so much.
So besides the library, there is also an organization called Storytime GR, and they have book pantries at different locations around the city. They're kind of like little free libraries, but the books are new. And so we have book pantries at two of our locations, the Seymour Library and the Madison Square Library. And then there are also book pantries at the Other Way Ministries, Little Lights Preschool, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and the Salvation Army Croc Center. So even if there are families who don't want to get a library card, there are still ways to get free books around the city.
One thing that, again, it goes back to screen time versus books, and it mm-hmm. seems like that a lot of tablets and apps nowadays do actually offer literacy options for people as well. So even, of course, it's parent discretion, mm-hmm. and of course, we don't, you know, screen time is a divisive issue, I think, in some ways. But I think that there are opportunities for parents to engage literacy with their children through tablets and things like that.
Yeah. When it comes to screen time, there's a difference between what type of content that kids are engaging in. So if they are engaging with something that helps them learn their letters or, you know, different literacy involved games, I think that can be valuable. But what I like to remind parents of is that when kids are using screens, that takes away from their time doing other things. So if they're on a screen all day, they're not going to be playing outside and developing motor skills and tactile skills. Yeah. They're not going to be engaging with their caregivers and developing those social skills. So, you know, I think there's a balance to everything and everyone will be able to determine the right balance for their own child.
Yeah, most definitely. So I know one thing that is, especially with people who are really into books, it's the ebooks versus physical books.
Right.
And I know that both have their place. Can those ebooks be just as beneficial as physical books for kids?
I would say that ebooks definitely can be beneficial. Again, what we want to be careful with, especially with young children, is mitigating this screen obsession.
Yep.
So their brains are, you know, just forming new connections, and we want to be mindful of that. I think that another thing to consider is the way that screens affect the neurotransmitters in kids' brains, and they're releasing those high levels of dopamine that do make them more addictive. However, I think with balance, you can still develop those core literacy skills with ebooks as well.
That's great to know. For some parents, they may struggle with reading.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has different challenges, and some people, you know, they have neurodivergencies, things like that. This dyslexia is a common thing. So for those parents who maybe can't read well or maybe have a fear of reading to their kids because they don't want to stumble through words or mislead mm-hmm. their child, what do you think is a way to help them through that?
I would start by acknowledging that it can feel really tough, especially if you don't feel super confident with your own literacy skills to help your child. But just know that any time you spend engaging with your child and books and songs is going to be beneficial to them. And also what I would say is remember that you're not alone. And there are community resources to help you bring your child to the library, get them to a story time, and let us lift some of the weight too.
A silly kind of parallel too. You think about parents are not afraid to sing blaringly loud in the car to the radio, even if they can't sing. And so realistically, this is kind of the same principle is
yeah.
that your kid loves you no matter what. Your kid doesn't expect perfection. Your kid just wants to spend time with you and they're going to get something from it no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
For parents who may struggle with reading or that confidence, are there any sort of programs that the library might offer to help parents with those kind of things?
So we don't offer anything specifically for adults,
okay.
but we do partner with the Early Literacy Center of West Michigan, and they offer free literacy tutoring for adults. There's a form that you can fill out on their website to express your interest to get help with tutoring. And we do often host tutors and their adults who are learning with them in our library spaces.
Does that extend to people who do not speak English as a first language as well?
Yes.
I'm sure that's a thing that people sometimes struggle with as
well. Yeah, I would say, and again, I'm not an expert on what the Literacy Center does,
sure.
but I would say probably a good majority of their learners are English second language learners. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, this has been really good. As we start to wrap up today's episode, I kind of want to know if you could give advice to parents about literacy.
Yeah, so my best advice for parents would be to create a loving and nurturing environment for your child. Because ultimately, when they feel safe and loved, their brain is going to be much more relaxed and they're going to be in a better space to learn.
I love that so much. We talked about some of the resources and whatnot. Of course, families can always go to grpl.org to find out where their nearest branch is to learn more. But what other resources should they be looking for?
Yeah, so there is a great resource from Kent County called Success Basics. And it has tips on their website for parents of infants and toddlers of how to interact with their child. So the basics are going to be love, talking, counting, playing, and reading.
I love that so much.
Yep.
And I don't want to discount, you have some books up here, of course, but you have two books down here next to you that they look really fun, and I want you to talk about them a little bit.
These are wonderful titles for children who have trouble sitting down and listening to stories. So every page in this book has movements that go with the text. So this one is an owl and fly, so kids can flap their wings and then wave bye-bye. And then this title is by Jane Cabrera. She does really fun spins on classic nursery rhymes. So this is Row, Row, Row Your Boat, but it has, again, the fun spin to it, and there's going to be movements that kids can participate with on each page.
Oh, that is so cool. As I was a kid who doesn't sit down for much of anything. And so that is actually a really great resource. I'm going to make a note of those books as well.
Awesome.
So as we start to get to the very end of this, what sorts of things can we look forward to? I know you mentioned a bunch of things coming up in the library, but any other thing you want to plug, talk about with the GRPL?
Yeah, I would say we're gearing up for summer already. We plan our programs really far in advance. And then, you know, we always have activities for spring break as well. So kids can come into the library and do in-house crafts. I will also say that you do not need a library card to attend story time. They are free and open to anyone in the community.
I love that so much. So how can people find out about events going on at the library?
If you have a device and internet access at home, you can find all of our information online at grpl.org. We also have print materials available in our libraries, including our Events for Everyone booklets, which have all of our quarterly events for all ages. We also have individual handouts for our storytime events.
So one thing that GRPL does that I love, it's called the Check It Out program. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you to talk about that with our listeners.
Yeah. So our Check It Out program allows people with Grand Rapids Public Library cards to check out passes to local attractions, including the Frederick Meyer Gardens, the Children's Museum, the Public Museum. We have a whole list of community partners, and we also occasionally get passes to special events in the city as well. So you can come in person or call any library location to see what's available. The program is free, and the only stipulation is that you can check out each type of pass once per year per library card.
That is so wonderful. And that, I'm sure, in a way also enhances experiences. You could, you know, the butterfly exhibit's coming to Meyer Gardens this month, and you could do a book on butterflies.
Yeah.
And do it that way, or go to the zoo and have a book on zoo animals and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, and it's a great way for people who may not be able to afford those experiences otherwise,
yes,
to have access to those experiences. And you can take your whole family with most of the passes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we have all these different programs. We have the autonomy and responsibility that comes with the library card.
Mm-hmm.
But library cards offer so much more to the community.
Yeah. So one thing people are sometimes surprised to learn is the amount of digital offerings that we have. So the library pays for their library card holders to have access to a bunch of different digital platforms. One of my favorite ones for kids is called Tumble Books. And it's like a database that has animated picture books, which is just really fun for kids. And for grownups, there's a lot of different content available in terms of ebooks, streaming audiobooks. We even have a streaming service that's kind of similar to Netflix called Canopy, which has more world cinema and independent cinema. We have a database called Creative Bug where people can learn to do different crafts. Cool. So we have something for everyone.
And the library really is a one-stop shop. This just proves it.
Yeah. And everything's free.
All I need now is a cafe, right?
Right.
Well, Mindy, thank you so much for being here today. This was so much fun to talk about books and literacy and kind of indulge this little nerdy part that I love about books. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And everybody who is tuning in, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your support, your listening. And for all the information, we'll include links in the episode description. And of course, you can always visit grpl.org to get more information. But until next time, we will talk to you later.